I'm not Juanita Graham. She hurt her knee this morning and is unable to walk over here today. So I'm actually Cynthia Stowe, and I'm also one of the speakers this morning. But thank you for coming to our session on health impact assessment. And we're going to go in a little different order. Our first speaker is going to be Dawn Haney from Human Impact Partners in Oakland, California. She has a master's in health promotion and behavior from the University of Georgia, and she's the operations director. And she's going to give us sort of the baseline, a little bit more about what are HIAs, the steps that people typically go through, and kind of set the stage for the rest of us. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Here at Human Impact Partners, where I work, we use this World Health Organization definition of health, which many of you are familiar with, that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And so that means we're interested in a lot of policy issues beyond just healthcare, because there's so much that impacts our health. As a nonprofit, we have no relationships to disclose of any financial interests. At Human Impact Partners, we work to transform the policies and places that people need to live healthy lives by increasing the consideration of health and equity in decision making. And we have specific goals that guide our work that makes it unique, and that includes goals like equity and justice, democracy and transparency, really elevating community voices, focusing on sustainability, and not just improving health, but really focusing on health inequities and removing those. I'm sure I'll run through these really quickly, because I'm sure that folks here are pretty familiar that good health is determined by more than money that's spent on the healthcare system. So U.S. typically ranks first in healthcare spending, but our life expectancy doesn't match that. And we also know that poor health is not distributed equally among all populations, and that factors like race, ethnicity, age, socioeconomic status can really impact our health. And we also know that when we're looking at policy decisions, that those who currently have poor health are often the most vulnerable to negative health impacts from policy. Many of you have maybe seen this slide before, this rainbow model from Dahlgren and Whitehead, that really shows the variety of factors that can be responsible for a population's health, and that kind of beyond individual factors like age, gender, and genetics, and even our individual behaviors like our diet and exercise, our addictions, there's so many other factors that are at play in who is healthy and who is not. So those are things like education and transportation, air, water, and soil quality, housing, and then huge social and economic political factors like poverty, racism, social cohesion, and political participation. And so this is where health impact assessment comes in, is that it can be a systematic process that uses data, gets input from a bunch of stakeholders, to really look at the effects of a proposed policy or plan on population health, and policy very broadly defined. It determines the distribution of those effects and provides recommendations on monitoring and managing those effects. And that's the sort of like official definition coming out of the National Research Council of the National Academies. But this more like picture definition of how an HIA works is that if you have a proposed policy that is coming up, an HIA will look at how it affects a number of these socio-political living and working conditions that can lead to health outcomes. And so when we look at we make that assessment in the HIA, and then once we have that assessment, we make recommendations for how that policy could be implemented differently. And something that's often important in an HIA is that we're really looking at a policy decision before the decision is actually made, so that those recommendations can actually inform whether a policy should go through, or whether it can be modified in some way to improve people's health. And again, just to give you a flavor for the different places, the kinds of issues that we might not typically consider to be health policy, but that have been analyzed through a health impact assessment, everything from state, local, even federal policies like labor, agriculture, food access, criminal justice, education, and some of the more typical HIA policies that you may have maybe more familiar with might be land use and transportation policies like housing, transit, highway plans, natural resource extraction. So it gets us way outside of just the medical model of thinking about health. So one of the things that makes health impact assessment unique is that we have a six-step process, the first three steps of which are shown on here. The first step that we go through is screening. So if you have a policy or an area that you're interested in doing some kind of analysis in, you want to assess whether an HIA is really useful. So one, you might look for whether decision makers, whether there's actually a set of decision makers that you can influence before a decision is made. You might wonder if the HIA is going to add value to their discussion, so you're going to add some new information or new data or new framing to be able to influence them. And will you have an ability to be able to actually inform decision makers about this information in time for them to make the decision? So once you've decided that, yes, an HIA will be useful, you then move into a much wider process, the second step being scoping, which will determine which health impacts you're going to evaluate and which stakeholders to engage. And this process is very community-oriented, which I'll talk about more later, and really trying to receive guidance from the community about what topics are most relevant to their needs. The third step is moving into assessment, which often has two pieces. One, looking at a profile of existing health conditions, which you might be somewhat familiar with. It looks a little like a community needs assessment. But what often makes a HIA unique is that in this assessment phase, we're also looking to make predictions of potential health impacts. Again, because we're trying to say something about future health impacts so that decision makers can have a sense of what this policy might impact. I'll move to steps 4 through 6. After we have a good assessment of both existing conditions and what our predictions might be, then through a community process, we provide recommendations and how we can manage adverse health impacts, and also if there are benefits to the policy, how we can really maximize those, especially for any vulnerable populations. Fifth step will be reporting, developing the HIA report, and really thinking about how to communicate findings and recommendations with decision makers and with other stakeholders who might be interested in trying to influence decision makers. And then the final step is evaluation and monitoring, and this can be a really long, ongoing process after the completion of the HIA, because you're really trying to assess what are the long-term impacts of this decision on health determinants. The other thing that I think really makes HIA health impact assessment unique is the set of values that we hold dear to our work, and those are values like democracy, equity, sustainability, really thinking about and being able to articulate the long-term impacts of a proposal, ethical use of evidence, because we are doing research within a policy setting, really thinking about how to not cherry-pick the evidence based on what our political preferences might be, but to be rigorous and transparent with our research. And a comprehensive approach to health, and really when we look at different kinds of health outcomes, we're looking at a wide variety, and it's not just disease-specific. So coming out of these values, stakeholder participation is a really key piece of a health impact assessment, and that a lot of different people can and should be involved in an HIA process. So it might be led by a public agency, like a public health department or a planning division, but that a lot of other people should be involved, like community residents and organizations, policymakers, public agencies, businesses, medical professionals, which could include public health nurses, as well as doctors. And I think it's especially important to be thinking about how to get participation from people who are likely to be directly impacted by the decision, so that they have a role in the HIA process. And stakeholders play a role really in all parts of the HIA process. And so stakeholders could be involved in identifying which health issues or health impacts could be studied, collecting actual new data from surveys, interviews, and focus groups, interpreting data, and helping to make sense of it and how it actually is true in the community, developing and prioritizing recommendations, communicating findings to decision makers, as well as holding decision makers accountable for any agreements that they make or mitigations that they make to the policy. And I think I'll just say something quickly about communicating findings to decision makers, since this is the public health nursing section. I think it's could be a really critical role for nurses to play in an HIA process, because I think that nurses are such trusted health advocates in the community already, and to be able to then share your broad knowledge of health with decision makers coming out of that is just could be a really crucial role. So I wanted to say that in particular. But I also think my understanding is public health nurses also have wide ties to many folks in the community who could be involved in this kind of process. So I'm just going to give a couple of brief examples in my 5 minutes left of actual HIAs, so you can kind of get a sense in different policy areas how this might play out. And you'll get some more in-depth from other presenters later. This first one is Jack London Gateway HIA, which was an urban infill housing development project in West Oakland that proposed to build 55 units of low-income senior housing, as well as have some retail in the downstairs. And some of the problems that for the site, the particular site they were looking at, is that it was very close to a freeway and port, so people were very worried about air quality, noise, safety, and what kinds of retail were actually going to go in. And so we did what we called a rapid HIA process because there was a very short decision window and we wanted to have information together. So we had 4 community meetings over 3 months that resulted in a 10-page letter to the developer who actually agreed to many of the design changes that were recommended. So they put in better air filtering because of the air quality issues. There were bay windows instead of patios or balconies, because folks wanted the light but weren't necessarily going to go outside. And they rearranged how the building entry actually would work so that it felt more open to other units in the community rather than opening out on the busy street. A second example in development, many of you may know that Los Angeles is trying to get a football team. So one of the ways that they want to do that is to try to build a football stadium so that there's a place for a team to come. But the place where folks are thinking of building this is a low-income community. It's sort of the similar neighborhood of where Skid Row is in Los Angeles. And so there are a lot of concerns from folks who live in the community about being displaced, about the area being gentrified, and so because there will be more money coming into the region, how will it impact employment, housing, safety, and access to open space. So again, this was a very rapid model. The developers were required to do an environmental impact assessment and had produced a report out of that. And so we developed a process to be able to provide comment to that report within their very small 45-day window. And so we brought together impacted residents with the support of LA CAN, which is a grassroots community organization in that space, to be able to assess the health impacts. And the developer has agreed to almost $20 million in mitigations, including building affordable housing as part of that, making sure that hires when they're going to build the football stadium are local and that are paid a living wage and that there's job training involved with that. Stadium has not yet been built, but these are in place if LA moves forward with that. A third one, this our friends at Upstream Public Health in Oregon worked on this project, Local Foods in Oregon Schools. And so this is a statewide policy issue rather than like a local development project. And the proposal was a state bill that would reimburse schools for purchasing Oregon-related products and building school gardens. And so folks were concerned about how is this actually going to impact nutrition, environmental health, employment of agricultural workers, and social capital, or the connections between communities. And so there were actual amendments made to the bill to specify that reimbursement should be for foods actually produced and processed in Oregon, making sure grants went to serve vulnerable populations, really bringing in that equity focus, and to really try to maximize benefits. And one quick last one, smart metering HIA. So this is around electrical service and was actually done in connection with the National Center for Medical Legal Partnership. And so, you know, there was a proposal to put in smart meters, which are the fancy new electrical meters that actually track real-time usage and adjust rates by hour. And they were really concerned, well, how is it going to affect people who maybe get their fuel, their electricity shut off regularly, and elders and other vulnerable populations in the community? So one of their main recommendations was really to reward for reduced usage rather than to penalize people for using in peak times, as well as really paying attention to how being able to remote shut off would not actually further endanger vulnerable populations. So that's just a flavor of a health impact assessment, which is one tool that can be useful in increasing the use of health in decision making. My contact information is up there. I'm happy to talk with folks more if they're interested in those projects or other things we're working on. But otherwise, I will turn it over to our next presenter.
Thanks, John. Thank you.